Welcome to the Black History is American History Press Call. We will get started shortly. Thank you for your patience.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call. I'm Wade Henderson, Interim President and CEO of the Leadership Conference Education Fund, an organization that builds public will for laws and policies that promote and protect the civil and human rights of every person in the United States. The Education Fund is the sister organization of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, the nation's oldest and largest civil and human rights coalition. I'm joined on this call by Derek Johnson, President and CEO of the NAACP, Savante Myrick, Executive Director of People for the American Way, Dr. Amy Tillerson Brown, Education Chair of the NAACP's Virginia State Conference, and Dr. Wes Bellamy, who is a parent in Virginia. We are here to make one thing clear. Black history is American history. We are announcing a new initiative today to elevate the central role of black history in America's history and to push back on the whitewashing efforts of Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin and of far too many officials in states across the nation. We know that in a truthful reading of history, the black experience is central to the story of Virginia and thus the story of the United States. But for far too long, black students and students of all backgrounds have been denied the opportunity to see themselves reflected in the American story. Earlier this year, Governor Youngkin issued his first executive order, which prohibited the teaching of what he called, quote, inherently divisive concepts, unquote. To support his order, he created a tip line through which parents could email the Virginia state government to report any public school teachers they believed were, quote, behaving objectionably, unquote. Governor Youngkin's misguided and ignorant attempt to whitewash history and gag educators only builds on the legacy of discrimination against black and native communities across Virginia. And his efforts to prevent critical thinking and to erase the complicated and difficult history of Virginia and of our nation require a loud and sustained response from all who believe in teaching our children the truth. That is why today we are launching the Black History is American History public awareness campaign, which will allow black parents and others the opportunity to go to blackhistoryisamericanhistory.org to share their stories with the governor and with the national civil rights community about the centrality of black people's experiences to the history of the Commonwealth, and to share their support for the truthful teaching of history. We are here to say that our children deserve access to inclusive and accurate history, whether they are black, Latino, white, Native American, or Asian American. We owe our students the opportunity to wrestle with the difficult aspects of our history so that they are prepared to create a more just and equitable future. Let's be clear. All students deserve access to an education that prepares them to succeed, to exercise their social, political, and economic rights, and to thoughtfully examine the whole truth of our history and how it reverberates today. But we also know that these efforts are not limited to the former capital of the Confederacy. Outside of Virginia, lawmakers across the country are engaging in similar efforts to whitewash history, attack honest teaching, and deny the future leaders of this nation the information they need to create a more equitable society. To truly build an America as good as its ideals, we must first learn, reckon with, and honor our history until we grasp the full weight and the consequences that it carries. That is the message we send today with the launch of this new joint campaign. And I encourage people to go to blackhistoryisamericanhistory.org to learn more and to share their stories. I want to thank our partners on the call for their collaboration and for their dedication to this critically important issue. Now, let me turn it over to Derek Johnson, the president and CEO of the NAACP. Derek?
Thank you, Wade, and I want to thank the press for joining this conversation. The NAACP, the nation's oldest civil rights organization, started in 1909 in the backdrop of a struggle to ensure democracy could work for all. African Americans, we have contributed greatly to this nation. Around that commitment, that promise, that social contract we call the Constitution, that all individuals are created equal. And the fight to ensure that social contract is intact is something that many in the African American community has sacrificed for, inclusive of Christopher Addis, who was one of the first people killed during the Revolutionary War, or the many men and women who took up arms in the war between states to ensure we had a united states and not a divided country. To individuals who enlisted in World War II despite the barriers that was placed in front of them and successfully supported the troops in defeating the Nazis. The Tuskegee Airmen is widely considered one of the most effective units to make sure our troops in Europe were successful. Those were men who were denied freedom at home, primarily those who lived in the South, but yet was fighting for freedom abroad. Many of those individuals came back home from World War II and decided to stay in the South to ensure that our Constitution would ring true for all Americans. That Constitution also includes a Bill of Rights, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th Amendment, which is most significant for African Americans, guaranteed our citizenship, due process right, and the right to vote. And it's in the backdrop of those guarantees that we see those World War II veterans fighting in the South to ensure that it was equitably applied to Southerners, to Americans, to African Americans who lived across the country. It was also in the backdrop of that struggle during the Civil Rights Movement that you're seeing young people begin to get involved. It was also during the same moment that in the state of Alabama, when African Americans were denied the freedom of assembly under the organization I now represent, the NAACP, because many individuals felt that the NAACP, in our advocacy to ensure equal protection under the law and the Constitution would apply to all individuals, would be true in New York as well as in Alabama or South Carolina. Black history is American history. In fact, African Americans in this country have fought hard in our quest to perfect democracy. One of our founders, Ida B. Wells, not only advocated for anti-lynching legislation and fair treatment for African Americans, she also was a leading voice to ensure that women would be guaranteed to exercise a right to vote. The women's suffrage movement was a part of African American movement because Ida B. Wells recognized that she's both African American and a woman, and if African American win, was guaranteed the right to vote in cities like Chicago and New York, African-American women. But more importantly, women should also be guaranteed the right to vote. The concept of perfecting democracy is not always an easy thing to achieve. There are tensions, there are struggles, and there are lessons for us to learn so we don't repeat the past. So for the NAACP to be a part of this coalition, it is absolutely crucial. African Americans have sacrificed so much so that we can hold ourselves up as a beacon globally as a leading democracy. But if the efforts of the governor of Virginia and many other governors across the state is successful, we would dim the light of democracy, something that we have fought so hard to ensure all citizens could appreciate. We would refuse access to our young people to become critical thinkers by highlighting the good and the bad, the struggle that brought us to this point, so that we can have the type of thinkers to push us forward into a future that's inclusive, that's equitable, and that's consistent with the social contract we call the Constitution. Thank you, Wade, for this opportunity, and NAACP will be in full support of this cafe.
Thank you, Derek. Our next speaker is Dr. Amy Tillerson Brown, the Education Chair of the NAACP's Virginia State Conference. Dr. Tillerson Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Henderson and President Johnson, for your insightful remarks. April 23, 1951, 71 years ago, a 16-year-old female student at Robert Russell Moton High School in Prince Edward County, Virginia, named Barbara Johns, with hundreds of her classmates, walked out of school in protest of racial inequity. Barbara Johns, Carrie Stokes, and her twin brother John Stokes, John Watson, Edwilda Allen Isaacs, and about 400 other 8th to 12th grade students were tired of having to attend class in tar paper shacks. They did not accept that their black skin made them socially or intellectually inferior and demanded that their school building, bus transportation, curriculums, and teacher salaries be improved to standards comparable to their white counterparts. For decades, parents of these student activists had petitioned the Prince Edward County School Board for equitable treatment and were largely ignored. Students were aware of these failed attempts at justice and accepted the baton to run their leg of the race for social justice. Their brave walkout led to the Davis v. Prince Edward County court case that was one of the five consolidated cases to argue the 1954 Brown decision that declared in the field of public education, separate but equal has no place. For me, Barbara Johns and the student protest at Moton High School is part of American history that all students should learn about. This example of activism is an answer to ideas presented by President Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence that led to our American Revolution. And I quote, when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government. More simply put, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. However, even today, there are some people who might find Barbara Johns' contribution to civil rights history disturbing, divisive even. Why? History is not simply a laundry list of names, dates, and events. Students of history must learn the skills necessary to critically think, to analyze, to understand, skills that are near impossible to acquire without context. Barbara Johns existed during a period of history where black people were not treated equally to white people, not because of their economic class, but because of their race. There were not signs on water fountains that said rich only, instead white only. Now, it's clear that the earning potential for whites was higher than that of blacks. It was race that often determined citizens' ability to secure jobs, enter schools, and in turn secure employment that allows one to climb the economic ladder, a promise of the American dream. This historical reality makes some people uncomfortable, as it requires students to critique the historical circumstances that allowed this race-based inequity. Similarly, students and parents who desire an accurate, even-handed account of American history are uncomfortable when educators cherry-pick historical events in attempt to reify the myth of American exceptionalism. politicians acting on behalf of citizens who simply do not want to recall the realities of racial segregation or American apartheid because they in some way connect with the perpetuators of the racial violence activists like Barbara Johns protested against, or because they have determined that teaching Black history has gone far enough, has existed long enough. Barbara Johns's activism resisted laws in our Commonwealth that privileged whites. These were racist laws that represented the social mores, understandings, and acceptances of the time. Mores, understandings, and acceptances that are not snuffed out in two generations. The story of Barbara Johns is representative of, and I quote, Virginia's civil rights oppression, end quote, described in former Superintendent Lane's February 22, 2019 memo to Virginia Division Superintendents, providing resources to support student and community dialogues on racism, a document that current Superintendent Jillian Barlow rescinded on February 9, 2022, because she claimed that it, and I quote, promoted teaching social justice, systemic inequality, and anti-racist policies that are consistent with critical race theory and without offering alternatives, end quote. The alternative to promoting the teaching of social justice is the promoting of teaching social injustice, which is what effectively happens when history, that includes activism like Barbara Johns's, is eliminated from history curriculums because people in power who are irritated by the realities of racial oppression erroneously describe it as divisive in an attempt to justify muting very important voices necessary to harmonize the chorus of American history. We need to hear the highs, the sopranos, and the lows, the bass, and everything in between. A school culture that is equitable for all students is a school culture of excellence. The Virginia State Conference of the NAACP is committed to promoting excellent, equitable, diverse, honest school curricula and cultures throughout our great Commonwealth. We are watching closely how ARP funds are being disseminated and used, as we know that making up for educational and mental health losses during the deadly and unavoidable pandemic has negatively impacted all our students, and according to a VDOE study, Black and brown students disproportionately. We continue to support local branches and others who are fighting for inclusion for ethnic minorities and LGBTQ plus students and are dealing with the backlash that runs rampant in local areas, galvanized by cries of leadership to silence the very important equity work. Inspired by Dr. Carter G. Woodson, the Virginia NAACP Committee on Education rejects any policy that protects the erasure of Black life and history from school curriculums because, as Dr. Carter G. Woodson, historian and son of Virginia, said, if a race has no history, if it has no worthwhile tradition, it becomes a negligible factor in the thought of the world, and it stands in danger of being exterminated. We will not support the erasure of Black history in this Commonwealth, which is dishonest teaching, and hope that other fair-minded Virginians stand with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tillerson, excuse me. Next, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Wes Bellamy to share his perspective as a Black parent in Virginia. Dr. Bellamy?
Good morning. How's everyone? Thank you so much for making some time for me this morning. Also, I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge those who spoke before me, including Dr. Tillerson, who I think we all can say shook the room up, has been a hero of mine for many years, as well as President Johnson. Thank you all for all of the work and what you do in the community. I will provide my remarks and try to be brief because there's not much more that I can say when you follow someone like Dr. Tillerson. But I will speak on the fact that as a parent of two young daughters who are here in Virginia, my children currently go to school in Charlottesville, Virginia, where I once served as the vice mayor, and even as an individual who currently serves as the Political Science Department Chairman at Virginia State University, what we see currently taking place in our education system definitely needs to be addressed. Make no mistake about it, when we hear individuals like Governor Youngkin make clear attacks on the education of our young people and the whitewashing of the attempted whitewashing of our education for our young people as it pertains to making those who are on, quote unquote, their side feel good, they are not realizing and taking into account the impact and the negative impact that they're having in terms of not providing the full truth of what's transpired across history, but also taking away an opportunity for our young children to be able to truly learn who they are. Make no mistake about it, Black history is American history. And as we tell the full story of our people, it only makes the communities in which we live, the communities in which we live in, the Commonwealth in which we live in, and the residents of this Commonwealth better people. You don't become a worse person by being exposed to the truth. You don't become a worse person by truly understanding what's transpired. In fact, you become a more well-rounded individual when you understand some of the intricacies of not only where you live, but the history of what's transpired right here, right now. Now, for Black parents specifically, I know many of you have heard, just as my grandmother always told me, when you go up to that schoolhouse, you listen, you pay attention, you be respectful. But she also made it very clear that it's not only up for the schools or only up to the schools to educate our communities or educate me for that matter. And because of that, and because of some of these clear attacks in which we see taking place in not only the General Assembly, but this cultural war, if you will, across the country, I'm calling on our communities and our people to take a steadfast approach to make sure that we educate our babies on all that they need. As our communities and our villages have done for so long, we make sure that we wrapped our arms around those to make sure that they get what they need, and now we have to take it to the next level. Whether that's being intentional about volunteering at not only your local school or community program, or making sure and ensuring that you educate yourself so in turn you educate your children and you make sure you pass down some of those issues or some of the historical lessons to your children, your family members, your cousins, your nieces, and your nephews, and so forth. We have to all make sure that we have all hands on deck. Me personally, I'm committed to working with whomever, whenever to ensure that our babies get what they need, and I look forward to working with each and every single one of you to make sure that we carry the mantle, that not only will our children get what they need in school because we're going to fight for them to do so, but we're going to ensure that they get it come hell or high water in our communities. So thank you for your time, and I look forward to chatting with and working with you all soon.
Thank you for sharing your views with us, Dr. Bellamy. Our final speaker today is Savante Myrick, who serves as Executive Director of People for the American Way. Savante?
Thank you, Wade. Thank you for your tremendous leadership and partnership with People for the American Way. We're a civil rights organization that for the last 45 years has fought for truth, justice, and the American way, specifically by fighting for freedom, freedom from fear, the freedom to vote, and most relevant to this conversation, the freedom to learn. I want to thank President Johnson and Dr. Tillerson and my good friend and brother, Dr. Wes Bellamy, for their remarkable and accurate remarks this morning. Our message is clear. Governor Youngkin, stop lying to our children. Far-right politicians, stop lying to our children. These lies, the attempt to make us believe that Black history is not American history, is not only is it untrue on the face of it, but it is, of course, in service to a greater project that these far-right politicians have. That project is, of course, not to stop history from happening. It happened. Right? Their project is to stop Black progress in real time. And it should not be a coincidence that at the same time that Governor Youngkin is attempting to stop the teaching of Black history in our schools, his partners in the United States Senate are trying to stop the confirmation of perhaps the most qualified person ever nominated to the U.S. Supreme Court. Why? Is it because of her ideology? No. Is it because of her qualifications? No. It's because she would be the first Black woman in 233 years. To serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. We know why they're attempting to stop the teaching of Black history, and it is because they want to stop progress for all people, but what they need to understand. And this is our invitation and call to action for all Virginia families. What they need to understand is that when you lie to our children, when you do not tell them the truth, when you do not give them the freedom to learn, you are not just hurting Black families, but you are hurting white families too. You are hurting all students who are going to graduate from those schools with a smaller vision of what America is and with an incorrect picture of what made our nation successful. And to those who may have a sincere fear that learning about the darkest chapters in American history, that learning about the worst aspects of what our country has allowed to happen to Black people, from slavery to Jim Crow to voter suppression, and they fear that this may make their children feel bad, need to understand that our children are more resilient than our adults, that our children, when given the true picture of our story, will find that there are heroes of all colors, creeds, and backgrounds, that a true teaching of American history and Black history, which are one and the same, will give our white students, as well as our Black students, a plethora of heroes to look up to and look after, from our founding fathers like Benjamin Franklin, the staunch abolitionist, to President Lincoln and Ulysses Grant, and the thousands and thousands of white soldiers who fought for the Union to help free their brothers and sisters in arms. The teaching of Black history is the teaching of American history, and it makes our country stronger whether our students are Black or white. And we need to recognize that those far-right politicians like Governor Glenn Youngkin, who are attempting to stop the teaching of Black history, are doing it not out of the goodness of their hearts, but out of a political agenda. So here's what we're asking. We're asking all of those families to submit your stories. Support an accurate teaching of history by going to the governor's Gestapo-like tip line that he set up to help students snitch on their teachers. Instead, join us in telling Virginia Governor Youngkin that Black parents matter, Black students matter, and hashtag Black history is American history. That's how we can work together to demand that they stop erasing us from Virginia and American history and make Virginia a place where all children can see themselves and our shared story.
Thank you, Cervante. With that, I'll now ask our operator to open the line for questions. For reporters, please tell us your name, outlet, and if your question is directed to a specific speaker. Operator?
Thank you, Mr. Henderson and speakers. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press slowly star followed by 1 on your telephone keypad. You will then hear a 3-tone prompt acknowledging your request. And if you would like to withdraw yourself from the question queue, please press star followed by 2. And if you are using a speakerphone, you will need to please lift the handset before pressing any keys. Please go ahead and press star 1 now if you do have any questions. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by 1 on your touchtone phone. And your first question will be from David Steele. Please go ahead, David.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for providing this to everybody. I write for Inside Higher Ed, and this question is for the whole group, but also if Dr. Bellamy could sort of address it directly as well. And sort of two-part. One, when specifically did this program begin, and when did the seeds of it begin in terms of deciding that this would be the way that you would approach this with the website and the urge to have people call in with their stories? And two, Dr. Bellamy, as not only a parent but as a department chair at a university, and particularly a historically Black university, what role do you see the universities and the more educated, accomplished people in this community having an effect on this program and the goals that you guys have set out?
Thank you.
David.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no, no. You go right ahead, Dr. Bellamy. I'll follow you. Go right ahead.
No. I was taught to respect those who come before you, so you go ahead. I'll follow
you. Well, thank you. So, David, I'll be very brief. And this is Wade Henderson, interim president of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights and the Leadership Conference Education Fund, more importantly. This idea for the Black History is American History campaign began almost immediately after Governor Youngkin announced his executive order banning the teaching of the true history of Virginia to all of its students. We immediately reached out to members of our coalition, including the NAACP, the NAACP of Virginia, and People for the American Way, because we wanted to develop a response that was commensurate with the attack on truth, the attack on history, the attack on Virginia values. After all, of all the states to seek to abandon or to banish the teaching of Black history, Virginia, one would think, would be the last state to do that. After all, it was Virginia that saw the first arrival of enslaved Africans in 1619. It was Virginia that provided the first two presidents of the United States, both of whom were enslavers. It was Virginia that exercised in a very dramatic way massive resistance to the Brown versus Board of Education decision. Of all states to seek to banish Black history, one would have hoped that Virginia would be the last. And so my colleagues and the organizations represented on today's call came to the fore out of genuine outrage at what the governor had sought to do. This manipulation of history is simply unacceptable and will not be allowed to stand. And now let me turn it over to Dr. Bellamy. Dr. Bellamy?
That was spoken like a very good Kappa man, Brother Henderson. but in all seriousness, to answer the question, as a parent as well as a professor at a HBCU, I think that it's important for us to understand our power and utilize our voices in terms of mobilizing not only our students as well as our parents, but educating them on how these issues have impacts on our day-to-day lives. And when we're talking to our students, at least in my classes and some of my professors and colleagues as well, when we're talking to our students about what is not being taught and then how that is allowed to be able to do so via policy, that's the empowerment piece in which we have to make sure that we continue to speak on. So policy, from my personal estimation, is what impacts everything. If policy, you really can't do anything without policy, and policy can prohibit you from doing a great deal as well. In order for us to be able to address this policy, again, we have to be vocal, we have to be educated, and lastly, we have to be empowered. So our role is helping facilitate all three of those lanes, if you will. And I'm hoping that you'll continue to use your voice to do so as well. None of us can work as individual fingers, but when we ball those fingers up into a mighty fist, we can deliver a fatal blow to white supremacy. And I believe that is not only what we should do, but it is firmly what we will do. So let's get to it.
Thank you, Dr. Bellamy. Operator, next question, please.
Will be from Andre Whitehead at Whitehead Media. Please go ahead, Andre.
Good morning, and thank you all again for having this phone conference. And let me start this by excusing any member on this call who is not a part of the greatest fraternity in the world, the Omega Psi Phi fraternity, but I digress. Has there been any significant effort to reach out to Governor Youngkin and his campaign? Because as he was campaigning and as he is circulating throughout the Commonwealth, he's mentioned that he wanted to be open and meet with diverse groups to talk about history, quote unquote, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then on sidebar, as many of us realize, the history books need to be changed. Are you all too early in the process to start to work with our educators and with the school superintendent to try to kind of reform, if you will, the textbook?
Those are both good questions, Andre. Let me ask Dr. Tillerson Brown and Derek Johnson to respond to both of them, if that's okay. Dr. Tillerson Brown?
Sure. Good morning. Thank you so much for your question, Mr. Whitehead. I'm not a member of Omega Psi Phi, but will be in the Delta count. So thank you. Thank you for your question. You know, in the state of Virginia, there have been many conversations surrounding, and not just the state of Virginia, even nationwide, the further inclusion of African-American and minority-specific history in general. So far as this campaign is concerned, I am not aware of any outreach from our Virginia State Conference to textbooks in particular to rewrite or revise the history. However, that is something that we could be open to. We've been working and saw so much change over the past few years with what our Virginia standards of learning were requiring. And so very recently, a heroine that I discussed in my earlier comments, Barbara Johns, did become listed in the Virginia SOL. So we thought that progress was coming. We're concerned now with the backlash that we've seen that could label the history, the very important civil rights history of a student activist like Barbara Johns, divisive. So we are on cue and appreciate your comment regarding the textbook.
I'll say, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. So let me jump in quickly in terms of what we are witnessing in Virginia. It is nothing more than a partisan political stunt. There is nothing genuine about him saying he want to have meeting to talk about history while at the exact same time seeking to mute Black history, particularly the classroom, and setting up a structure to potentially criminalize teachers for actually teaching. Secondly, when you consider the current political landscape and how we got here, this is all in response to the summer of 2020 when there finally became legitimate conversations around equity and inclusion in the aftermath of the George Floyd tragedy, where corporate America and many citizens recognized the long history of inequity and exclusion, and the far right, the conservative movement, needed something to respond with. And they manufactured a campaign against a theory that has never been taught in elementary school, middle schools, or high school, most colleges, and only a handful of graduate programs and a few law school classes that most of them don't understand. This is all red meat to cause division. So any statement by this governor saying that he want to have a meeting about history, That's all political theater. What we are confronted with as a community, as a nation, is the decision of how we are going to move forward or go backwards in this moment. And so this campaign and our interest is about how do we move forward? How do we not fall prey to the red meat that's been thrown out there because we have a conservative movement that are not agile enough to expand this platform to include more people, and so they are fear-mongering to try to keep up a level of enthusiasm and energy leading into election cycles. We should not put our children at harm's risk. The demographics are what they are, and they will continue to advance in the same direction. And we cannot afford as a nation to allow ourselves to go backwards because it is inconsistent with the Constitution and democracy. And in fact, the history that has been taught is inconsistent with our democracy and the Constitution because the concept of a Confederacy that many of these conservatives uphold is a treasonous act. And so for Americans who happen to be of African descent, for Americans who have to be of many different ethnic backgrounds, we must stand together to push back against this narrative, because it doesn't end well for this nation, and we have seen it before. And so for the NAACP, National NAACP Virginia State Conference, we're not going to walk prey to have a meeting that's nothing more than theater, because it's not genuine. And we must push back as citizens across communities to say, we've seen it before. It didn't work in Nazi Germany. We've seen it before. It didn't work in the segregated South. We've seen it before. It did not work when states took up arms against one another over modes of production we call the Civil War, and we should not tolerate it today.
Thank you, colleagues, and thank you, Andre, for your question. Operator, next question, please.
Will be from Dorsey Spencer at NBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning. From NBC4 in Washington. Thank you for having this. Just a follow-up question. Will there be efforts to try to make changes within the curriculum of schools, to directly impact beyond like Black History Month? I'm just wondering about that piece of it, what's actually being taught in the classroom. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Spencer, for your question. I'll start responding and then invite any of my colleagues to speak. Let me say, we began this effort, this launch of the campaign with Virginia, first because it was Governor Youngkin who, by way of his executive order, really initiated this debate both in the state and at the national level. Secondly, because Virginia, as I remarked earlier, of all places, should be the very last to deny the importance of Black involvement in the history of the state and thus the history of the nation. As we mentioned earlier, however, Virginia is not by any means the only state that has chosen to pursue this path. And so we will be documenting what happens in states across the country using the Black History is American History website, asking our constituents around the country to document what's happening and to offer their perspectives. And we will then assess at some point in the near future what and how best to proceed. There could well be some attempt to encourage the likely adjustment to the history instruction in the state, but certainly we intend to push back aggressively against this effort to deny truth and the legitimate history of this country in all its forms. Let me invite any of our additional or other speakers to respond. All right. So thank you, Ms. Darcy, Ms. Spencer, for your question. And operator, we'll take the next one. Thank you.
Next question will be from Isha Pendekar at Education Week. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, thank you. Yes, we can hear you. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my question. It's a two-part question. I'm hoping you can elaborate on why you chose to invite Virginia families to share their support of accurate history teaching. Have you seen evidence that the tip line is being used frequently, or it has had some impact on, the state house and its decisions? Is that kind of why the strategy was developed?
Well, thank you for your question. Again, this is Wade Henderson. We have no access to the state's tip line, so I can't honestly tell you whether the tip line has been used by Virginia citizens to report on objectionable teaching at the state level. The fact that it exists, however, is an affront to honesty, to truth, and to the inclusive history that all of us should hope for our students. We felt it was important to push back because we recognized that although this was a political stunt by the governor, it did pose a threat to the instruction that teachers provided. If nothing else, it has a chilling effect on the willingness of teachers to candidly approach tough issues, and we recognize that not every subject taught in our schools about the events of this country and the state of Virginia are likely to meet with everyone's approval. Nonetheless, we believe that an unvarnished, truthful account of history is the best way to respond to the needs of our students. And we believe that sunlight is the best disinfectant to provide to the students about the way in which our country has developed. Everyone needs to have a better, a more inclusive, a more complete understanding of who we are as a people. And we believe this campaign is intended to accomplish that result. Any other comments from any of my colleagues? Well, thank you again for your question. Operator, next question.
Will be from Juan Perez at Politico. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Fantastic. This question is for both Presidents Henderson and Johnson, but also for anyone on the panel. Simply put, do you believe that Democrats, moderates, or others who might be allied with your cause are projecting a sufficient political message to push back on these sorts of efforts, not only in Virginia, but elsewhere in the country? Is there substantial or substantive enough political messaging coming from that side of the political spectrum to push back ahead of the 2022 midterms? Why or why not? And as a follow-up to that, how can this effort potentially serve as an example to other organizers or political entities who might be thinking about doing something like this elsewhere in the country? Thank you.
Thank you.
So
your question.
I'll start quickly.
Thank you.
Because the concept of debating facts in the public square is long gone beyond us, right? No one would have imagined 5, 7, 10 years ago the lack of integrity that we have seen from some individuals in Republicans. I won't say all, some, but a substantial number of them, who will put out this level of red meat that's not facts-based and divisive is appalling. I don't think anyone is prepared to counter the ongoing barrage of misinformation and divisiveness that members of the Republican Party and the conservative movement are willing to partake in. And so is the response adequate? Oftentimes not, because it's shocking. You know, you think about the 18-month cycle of the red meat. There's always a phrase, a buzzword, mostly 5 words or less, that's based in fear-mongering or creating the other. So they can generate a level of energy among communities that oftentimes are misguided, misdirected, and uninformed. You see that on digital platforms. You see it on cable news stations. And unfortunately, corporate America has allowed this to grip, take hold in the public square without having an adequate response. Many in the Democratic Party, and quite frankly, many in the African-American community, we oftentimes are trying to chase these bad statements, as opposed to being architects of hope, being architects of messages that bring people together, because it's difficult. When you're fact-based, we talk in paragraphs, and when you don't mind misrepresenting and misleading, you talk in words, in 5 or less words. And so the only thing that has always dealt with these type of red meat baiting phrases like critical race theory or truth in history or whatever they call it, is create a synergy of hope that people can run towards that can overshadow the synergy of divisiveness and hate. And we have not perfected. Yes, We Can was a perfect example of a hope message that people can rally around. Unfortunately, the hate message of Make America Great Again or Critical Race Theory, or you name the hate message, if you don't have a counter hope message, we find ourselves in these type of discussions.
So, Mr. Perez, let me respond by saying the Leadership Conference Education Fund and many of the organizations on this call are nonpartisan organizations organized under the Internal Revenue Service, 501c3, 501c4. We are nonpartisan organizations. So we're looking at this issue not through a partisan lens, but rather through the lens of educators committed to the development of our students. Let me say at the outset that invoking opposition to critical race theory is really a red herring, but it's one with a political message. After all, critical race theory is a law school doctrine. It began at Harvard University Law School and is taught, when taught at all, at law schools around the country. It is not taught in the public school system. It is certainly not taught at the elementary school level. So invoking opposition to critical race theory is really a euphemism for opposition to black history or for the purpose of negating the presence of African Americans in the state and in the nation. And opposition to black history is really little more than opposition to an unvarnished, inclusive view of American history. It does serve a political purpose. But we believe the best way to respond to this is with truth, with information, and with persistence and a willingness to challenge the powers that be when they attempt to distort the history of our country. So that's really the purpose of this campaign. Thank you for the question. And operator, we're ready for the next question. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next question will be for Megan Pauley at VPM News. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you all so much for holding this press conference. I just wanted to clarify, is there a separate website? Can you just elaborate more on the details of your campaign, specifics in addition to urging families and parents to send stories to the governor's tip line?
Well, thank you for the question. We do have a website that has gone active, and again, you can reach it at Black History is American History. There will be a toolkit provided for activists to be able to download information that will enable them to both provide their own stories about the importance of their experience in schools and to give examples of where the school has failed to provide an inclusive bit of information. We hope that by holding this press conference, by launching the campaign, by lifting up the website, and with the assistance of the media, the word will spread that this is an ongoing effort, not limited to Virginia, but will be nationwide in scope, and we hope will help trigger similar efforts in other states. That is, individuals and groups, some affiliated with our respective organizations, but others independently, deciding that they've had enough of the nonsense of negating the presence of black, brown, and others in the state's history, and an effort to push back in a respectful but in an appropriate and forceful way. So you will see more about the campaign as we proceed. I hope that's helpful. Operator, next question, please.
Thank you. Next question is a follow-up from Andre Whitehead. Please go ahead.
Folks, as the oldest black-owned media company in the Commonwealth, we provide TV, radio, of course, social media. We've covered a lot of stories and discussions about black history. How would you all respond to parents, teachers, who say they're concerned about teaching black history, whereby some of these non-African-American or white kids lose self-esteem and begin to hate themselves based on some of the sad, dark history that has happened? And then on sidebar, will you be reaching out to some of the black legislators in the Commonwealth who are again, serving the Commonwealth, and they have access, great access to Governor Youngkin's administration. And then lastly, will you be circulating and even traveling to do physical press conferences as COVID numbers diminish?
Can I take a quick stab at that really quick?
Of course.
So I think it's important for us to notate there's really a fallacy in regards to teaching this history is going to make white children feel bad about themselves. I firmly believe that that's something that white parents have made up. It's been indoctrinated in their minds. But children, from my experience, and I spent 8 years as a high school teacher, 2 years as a dean at a alternative school in Richmond, and now this is my fifth year on the collegiate level. Young folks and children, they don't have that low kind of self-esteem that people are often trying to portray that they do have just by learning that their ancestors hundreds of years did X, Y, and Z. And because of such, there are certain inequities in these systems that are in place. White people have been learning about this, and I really want, you know, everyone who's listening to take this into account. While some of these white parents and legislators and so forth, Republicans and so forth, may believe that if the children aren't learning it in school, then they're not going to get it. But they're not taking into account that almost every child that I know, they're on TikTok. They're on social media. They're going to be hearing about these stories. They all follow, I mean, a large majority of them follow black creators. They hear these stories because they're based on the algorithm. They're learning this information. And what do we know that children do when you try to keep something from them? They go and find a way to get it and get access to that anyway. So this thought and this notion that keeping this history out of schools is going to prevent children from somehow making them feel bad, or it's going to prevent them from learning about it, is just false. If they don't learn it in schools, we're going to make enough noise in which they hear about it in the streets, and then rest assured we're going to continue to empower our people and our children to make sure that it's well known on the social media platforms. So any and everywhere in which you go, black children, white children, Latino children, Asian children are going to know that black history is American history. We're going to learn about the atrocities that have transpired in this nation. We're also going to talk about these systems of inequities, but we're going to encourage folks to think about how we can create this change that we're all looking to make. And you can try to prevent it and block it now, but it's not going to last forever. I'll leave it at that.
Dr. Tillerson, I have a hard stop. I want to thank you for putting this together and this brief comment. Whether you call it a black history or history, the contributions of African Americans to this country should be taught, and you cannot get around it. Secondly, you know, I have as much concern about black children having a low image of themselves because of untrue history that has been taught for decades now. So the goal moving forward is, one, whether you teach history. Teach it as accurately as possible, and we should all be in pursuit of that. And then secondly, if it's taught correctly, we build critical thinkers, and the question of low self-esteem, low self-image become a minor, if at all, a problem, because we have individuals who will learn from the past so they can build a better future. Thank you for the opportunity to join you, Wade. Take care, everyone.
Eric, thank you so much for joining us, President of the NAACP. We really appreciate it. And I'm wondering whether Dr. Tillerson Brown or Savanti Myrick have an additional response to Mr. Whitehead's questions. If not,
thank
we can
you.
Go
this
to
is,
the...
I can respond. Are we pressed for time? I can.
No, please go right ahead.
Very quickly, to piggyback off of Dr. Bellamy and President Johnson, who are clearly thought leaders for us in this campaign and on so many other issues related to social justice, thanks for the comments. I think the way that I'm understanding the question is if white children are negatively impacted, if their self-esteem then declines because of the truthful teaching of American history that tells the truth about how racism has persisted in our beloved United States of America, that serves then as a justification for not teaching that truthful history. And I just don't see those as counterpoints to each other. But let's just say that this is a possibility. Right? Now, anyone who cares about truth, anyone who cares about accurate teaching of history, if they truthfully believe that it's going to have such a negative impact on the self-esteem and psyche of white students, something that no one really seemed to be worried about during the whole time that black people weren't seeing themselves in history curriculum, then I say that's even a larger call for us to support mental health in public schools, an issue that we really need to deal with, especially now during the pandemic, and fund in more direct ways our counseling departments. So if that's something that comes out of the teaching of truth, we've added then supports in those school districts that could deal with the possibility of that that reaction. That would be my suggestion.
Thank you,
but
Dr.
not
Tillerson.
To not teach the truth for that. Yeah, I don't think that that should come at the expense of truth.
Thank you so much, Savante Myrick. I didn't know whether you wanted to add additional comment.
I couldn't possibly add anything smarter than what we've heard. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Operator, any additional questions?
Next is a follow-up from David Steele. Please go ahead.
And thanks so much for taking my call. Again, this is for everybody, but specifically if Dr. Tillerson and Dr. Bellamy could answer this. You've talked so much about the Barbara John case from Prince Edward County and the role that it played both in, across the board history and also within the state of Virginia. From your experience, how well known is that specific story and those specific facts to the people that you've encountered, either there in Virginia or nationally? And I ask that in the context of, you know, I don't necessarily believe that it's something well known to people nationally unless they've basically studied Brown versus Board on the highest levels and sort of the history of the massive resistance. How much have you seen in terms of people knowing that specific thing, an important part of both Virginia and national history, that story in particular?
Dr. Tillerson Brown, then Dr. Bellamy. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your question. I think that I can speak as context. I'll speak from the undergraduate students that I've taught on the collegiate level, both at Virginia Tech and Mary Baldwin now University in Stanton, Virginia. And I teach students undergraduate level through seniors. I'm a professor of history there. And in my survey level history classes that I teach, United States history and Virginia history classes, every year when I started in the early 2000s, Barbara John's name was unknown. There are times recently, I'll say within the past 5 years, that I'll get students that may have heard her name but don't really know her story. So because of that experience, I tend to agree with you with your assumption that her history, the history of her activism, is largely unknown except to people who actually study civil rights history, Brown v. Board of Education in particular. So I'm very grateful then for the African American History Education Commission that was set up in August 2020, they had a list that included her. And then the work that people had done in Richmond to even have a monument to Barbara Johns established on the Capitol, with hopes that this important piece of history will be taught more and more. My fear, however, is with this scheme of divisive education that's coming now, that those important stories will be washed away and will not be taught because they will be labeled as divisive and thus struck from the curriculum. That is something we cannot have. And it's not just Barbara Johns, but I chose her because she's, you know, it's a Virginia-specific story, and it's one that I think all of us should know.
Dr. Bellamy?
Yeah, one, I don't think I can add much more. I mean, I don't know why y'all keep making me go behind Dr. Tillerson. That's first and foremost. You know, there's not much more that you can add after that. But I agree, in all seriousness, I agree wholeheartedly with her comments. It's not as well known as many of us would think. In fact, while I wasn't born in Virginia, and furthermore, didn't go to school for undergrad in Virginia, I moved to Charlottesville when I was 22, and I learned about the works of the Honorable Miss Barbara Johns shortly thereafter. There are a lot of folks who just do not know the story, and I think it is incumbent upon us to ensure that we continue to teach its history, and I think that there are opportunities for us to do so and we are doing so under the tutelage and leadership of those like Dr. Tillerson and others who have researched this information and are being steadfast. I think that one of the best things that also transpired from the Northam administration was the statue being dedicated in front of the governor's mansion to the work of Ms. Barbara Johns and others. And I think, again, we just have to continue to be steadfast in telling that story.
Thank you both. Operator, next question, please.
And at this time, Mr. Henderson, we have no further questions, sir. Please proceed.
Thank you so much. Let me start first by thanking all of you who have chosen to participate in today's press conference, the launch of the Black History is American History campaign by the Leadership Conference Education Fund, the NAACP, the NAACP Virginia State Conference, and People for the American Way. I want to thank our speakers for joining in today's launch campaign. So important to have you. And just to leave one final thought for the press who have really chosen to participate today, we're so pleased. Thank you so much. Look, the whitewashing of American history is antithetical to American values and to what we teach our students in schools. Our role is to help build an America as good as its ideals. And we do that by teaching thoughtfully in an unvarnished way the truth of who we are as a people and how we came to be. It is a story of great celebration. American democracy is still a work in progress. We are being perfected to become the highest representation of our values that we can. And we are participating in this campaign in loving support of who we are as Americans. And we believe we share this history in common with every American. And we believe it's important to speak truthfully about who we are and how we came to be. So with that, I'll stop. I want to thank all of you for participating again today. And operator, thank you so much for your assistance.
Thank you, Mr. Henderson and speakers. Ladies and gentlemen, this does indeed conclude your conference call for today. Once again, thank you for attending. And at this time, we do ask that you please disconnect your lines. Enjoy the rest of your day.